We are live. I am Harrison Fagan, and today I have the distinct pleasure of being joined by the myth, the legend, and anonymous NBA Cat investigator extraordinaire Alex from NBA Cat Watch. Like all superheroes, Alex has to keep his identity a secret, so his face is going to be hidden for all of you watching this on the video and not listening on iTunes, which if you are watching this on video, you can subscribe to this on iTunes. There is a link at the bottom of the page. But anyway, how are you doing, Alex?
Good. Nice to meet you, Harrison. And yeah, sorry, everyone, for obscuring my identity, but it is, unlike a superhero, not interesting in any way. So I'm just keeping it as, you know, if you saw what I looked like, you'd be like, oh, just some internet guy. So I'm just going to keep the focus on the cats.
We can keep the myth going that you're just like a talking cat or something. And you just don't want to reveal that to the world. Like that's just you in that picture.
Or someone with NBA reporting chops slumming it in a really weird direction.
Yeah, I'm actually talking to Adrian Wojnarowski and no. So just for a quick CV for those of you that aren't familiar with NBA Cat Watch, which you should be, because like mainly because he has way more followers on Twitter than any of us do. So just for a quick CV, it looks like you started in, I think, January 2013. Is that correct? During my preliminary research?
Yeah, that's correct. The project has kind of gone in fits and starts. As I sort of like work on new techniques and sort of figure out how to move the project forward. And as I have jobs and not have jobs, I've spent more and more time on it. But like, yeah, I think I'm in a place now where I'm probably trying to hit this daily. So yeah, so it's kind of gone in, you know, peaks and valleys. But yeah, I'm in a peak right now.
Yeah, well, it looks like over those peaks that you've confirmed, I think the count's up to 12 NBA cats, right? You just confirmed Bruno Caboclo's cat yesterday?
No, I haven't. Well, here's the thing. I haven't confirmed Bruno Caboclo's cat because a year ago, he sent me a direct message with a mysterious picture of two cats. He's not in it. There's nothing else going on in it. And I bugged him since July of 2014. On and off to let me know if that's actually him. And after direct messaging him and reaching out to a lot of him and his Brazilian teammates, he just said yes when I asked, are these your two cats? But I have no pictures of him with the cats. So Bruno himself has confirmed that he owns those two cats. That's not good enough for me just yet. So I'm still working on some other angles to confirm that independently. If those two cats are his, however, that will be cats 13 and 14 owned by NBA players.
Oh, okay. So yeah, all right. So your count's a little higher than I had it. But so I guess you don't have that much information on the cats, right? You can't give us a scouting report like whether or not they're 2 years away from being 2 years away like he is.
On his specific cats?
Yeah.
They look limmy. They look like they have like long wingspan. So maybe they take after their father.
Yeah. Well, they say that like pets start to look like their owners a lot of the time, right?
Yeah. If you look at the photo, and I it's up on my Twitter page, it's just a really strange photo. There's like it's like really high contrast, and it looks like it's on like a weird white background. It's just, if you look at the photo at twitter.com/NBA Cat Watch and you just scroll down, it's a really mysterious looking photo. I kind of want to get some sort of forensic analyst to tell me under what conditions this photo would be produced. So that's an ongoing mystery. That's actually the thing I'm working on right now, is I'm trying to solve some NBA mysteries before the season starts, and then I get into sort of looking at rosters.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you have to make sure that all your sources are correct. You can't just say, you got to have multiple sources to confirm things. That's like journalism 101.
Yeah, that's actually the name of a textbook I checked out from my library to start learning about journalism.
And then, so NBA Cat Watch is also the premier source for information like Zach Randolph interviews, where he explains exactly why he's afraid of cats, which was pretty hysterical. I don't have the direct quote for you right here because I am not good at this yet.
I'm looking at it.
Okay, you want to go ahead and read that? I actually thought that was probably the funniest one.
Sure. So on my website, if you go to the cat list section, so that's nbacatwatch.com/cats, I have a list of all of the NBA cat owners, and then I have NBA cat people, unconfirmed cats, and then finally at the bottom of the page is known cat fearers. So far I found out Carmelo Anthony, Eric Bledsoe, Carlos Delfino, Jeff Green, Deshaun Sims, and Zach Randolph hate or fear cats. And the Zach Randolph quote is, "I've got a crazy phobia about cats. For some reason, I'm always thinking they're going to scratch me. If a cat walks up, I'm going, oh no, this dude about to scratch me. I know it. Cats scare the hell out of me. I love animals, but I'm no cat lover."
Yeah, I mean, I've just picturing like gigantic 7-foot Zach Randolph terrified of a little like 8-pound cat is just a hilarious image to me.
Just, yeah, I've seen multiple NBA players use the word terrified though, so I don't know what it is that's so scary about cats to some of these players.
So would you endorse or not endorse, like, say during the playoffs, if the Clippers and Grizzlies play this year again, the Clippers just having like a cat night at Staples Center?
Oh, that would be a great idea. Well, would it involve bringing cats to the Staples Center?
Yeah, see, that would be hard, right? Because it's not like cats aren't like dogs. You can't just put them on a leash. So yeah. That's what
I endorse celebrating cats in other ways than bringing them to the Staples Center, I suppose.
Yeah, that may not be they you know, the cats that I've encountered in my time, they may not react well to the loud noises associated with a basketball game.
Yeah, and it's not actually just the Grizzlies. I'm trying to work on another mystery right now where Dallas Mavericks guard Justin Anderson posted that he is afraid of cats. He wrote to someone and wrote, "I'm terrified of cats." And this was on the 31st of August. And then 2 weeks later, he is pictured holding a kitten. So I'm trying to determine what happened in that 2-week, 14-day window where he went from being publicly terrified of cats to holding a cute little kitten.
Yeah, I think, I speaking from experience, I think...
Uh-oh. Yeah. Hey, Harrison?
Yeah.
I lost you at speaking from experience.
Oh, I just said speaking from experience, being in my early 20s. You know, I know that I'm not always consistent on all of my opinions. So, you know, his cat takes may have changed. He may just not have established consistency in those.
From what I found out so far, the cat belongs to a girlfriend and the girlfriend's roommate. He was writing to the girlfriend's roommate when he said he's terrified of cats. And then 2 weeks later, he's holding the cat. So I think maybe it was the power of love that changed Justin Anderson's mind about kittens.
Hey, that's the best way to do it, right?
I'm still working to confirm independently that it was the power of love, though, so I will update everyone when I find that out.
We'll be eagerly awaiting that. And then, so I guess now that we've kind of established your credentials and you clearly know your stuff, you've been like, you know, just listing off the research that you do and the amount of sourcing that goes into this. So I guess what we're all wondering is, like, what made you want to start reporting on NBA players' cats?
It started out as a joke, actually. When the Classical, the sports writing website, the Classical was just starting, they were, I can look at the original tweet, but they were just writing and talking about like how they'd be a sort of different sort of sports website. So then I made a joke to them asking if they would perhaps give me a census of which NBA players owned cats, and they joked back to me about this, saying that they'll try to make that happen, and then they never did, which I guess I can't blame them. So I took it upon myself. It's the kind of joke that you think about a little while every once in a while. I'd watching NBA basketball, and I just think, oh, I wonder if anyone on either of these teams has a cat. And then I just decided to actualize my wanderings and turned it into the NBA Cat Watch project.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the NBA is just like one of the things I really like about the NBA blogosphere and NBA coverage as a whole is it's kind of embraced the weird a lot more than any other sport. There's just like a lot more unique angles of covering the league. And so I think that like yours is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's also the thing that got me back into the NBA as I got older, was just the weirdness and the amount of different opinions and the diversity of approaches to covering basketball is something that just let me actually get back into basketball as a spectacle, as something to sort of be interested in, something to learn about, is kind of directly through sort of like the Free Darko and Hardwood Paroxysm and that sort of world, let me kind of get back into basketball as something that is not just sort of the domain of meatheads on ESPN.
Yeah. No, definitely. So you mentioned that it got you back into basketball. So you had taken a hiatus, I guess, for a while from watching.
Yeah. Well, I watched, you know, when I was, 10, 12, 13, did I have a t-shirt of the Phoenix Suns rendered in Looney Tunes characters wearing backwards baseball caps and Phoenix Suns jerseys? Yes, I did.
I think we all did.
In like 1992, 93. And so, but then as I got older, I, you know, just kind of got a little bit less interested in sports and probably went 10, 15 years without really paying very much attention to the NBA. And maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I got invited to an NBA game and sort of wasn't familiar with where we were at in basketball. And then just started reading a little bit. Actually, it was on Free Darko that I started kind of just like reading through the site. And then it just kind of like opened my eyes to the fact that there were so many interesting, smart, analytical weirdos writing about this game. And that got me to sort of like take a look at it anew and sort of like fall in love with just like the game, but also the culture around basketball is like really fun and interesting. You add social media to that, where almost any NBA player, I can look at photos that they candidly took in their living room, which I end up searching for cats in the background somewhere. But the fact that, you know, there's this culture of sharing on social media and the NBA, it's just a really interesting, weird time to be paying attention to the league and its everything surrounding it.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, like I was saying before, I think it's kind of the best league at doing that, in my opinion, because I think the MLB has all their unwritten rules and all that, like, kind of, you know, in my opinion, garbage. And like the NFL is just so buttoned up, like, in just about everything. And so that's one of the things that I just really like about the NBA.
I'm sorry, this isn't a question about basketball, but do people in baseball really get mad if you like celebrate?
It seems like, I mean, I'm not a bit huge baseball fan myself, but I mean, judging from Twitter yesterday, I guess there are a lot of people that get very angry about bat flips.
Yeah, if you do something awesome, like, and I say this as someone who wants to see celebrations in sort of any venue. I'm always angered when the big balls dance in basketball gets someone fined $35,000. I always wonder if maybe you did an accurately sized version of that dance, would you get charged less or would you get charged more? But and that's the thing is like, yeah, what you're getting at is right. It's just basketball, the players are more human than football, which is sort of stuffily corporate and also kind of like cynical. And then baseball, which is just too slow to care about. And like right there at basketball, you see the players for who they are a lot of times, or maybe a little bit more than you would in other sports. And then, like, you know, through social media, you just see a little bit more about their lives. And that's fascinating.
Yeah. And I think it also goes back to that thing that Bill Simmons used to always say in his columns about, like, it's like you said, it's the sport where we can see them the most. They aren't wearing some uniform covering they aren't wearing a helmet covering their face. They aren't wearing caps. Like, they're just out there in basically, like, pajamas, like, just like playing. And it's like a lot more like there's a human vulnerability to it, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, that's that vulnerability and also just the humanness that and the identity that you can see off the court, too, through, you know, like Instagrams or Vines, things like that, which I end up pouring over. You actually just like learn a ton about players. When you reached out to me, I took a quick look into the Lakers roster to just see if I could get any information, any scoops for you. And unfortunately, the only one I could get is that Robert Upshaw's favorite shake is a banana shake. His favorite shake flavor. I was looking through everything. But yeah, it's like that's the kind of thing where I just learn weird things. Even if it's not cat related, you always just learn some pretty strange things about players up until the point where they become superstars. And then it's actually, then the sort of like image protection sort of takes over and it gets a lot harder to find any information out about people.
Yeah, I think that it definitely, the more famous they get, a lot of the times it becomes a lot more filtered.
Yeah, I ran into that problem this summer with Tony Parker, where I guess it's the Spurs way, but I could not get any information out from Tony Parker or anyone affiliated. I probably contacted 20 people from the Spurs organization, and people I talked to, well, I didn't talk to, I contacted, you know, Tony Parker's press people. I talked to a French documentary crew who made a documentary about a film or about him. I talked to as many people as I could, and I could not get anything. I could not get a single detail about the Cat situation from anyone in Tony Parker's crew. And I think part of that is because he's like a super, super famous dude. So that was actually way harder to get than anyone else I've ever sort of tried to scoop a cat on.
Yeah, and it's he's famous, and then combined with he's also a Spur, and you know they don't like to, like, the only time they have fun is they get all their fun out shooting that one yearly HEB commercial, and then that's it. That's all they're allowed for the year. They make a couple jokes on set, like that's their day to have fun, and like if you're not part of the commercial, too bad. Better luck next year. Play better.
I can very vividly see both Tim Duncan and Kawhi Leonard having on their calendar one day out of the year just marked as fun day.
Yeah, just
and like, then at the end of the day, them crossing that off and just getting ready for bed.
Just like rebooting or whatever it is they do before they go to bed, and yeah, because those two are like mostly robots, at least publicly. Well, except Tim Duncan has some of the most hilarious reactions to officials. Like when he gets called for a foul, you have personally grieved him.
Yeah. Also, his interest in comic books is, I just saw a picture of him wearing a Green Lantern t-shirt, and love of the Punisher is, it's like, again, that's the thing, is it's like, it's just an interesting, I mean, I don't, maybe people who follow other sports know this much about players in other leagues, but the sort of like weird quirkiness that we see from NBA players is just like, you know, an endless supply of sort of fascination, even during the off season where we're all trying to figure out what to be fascinated by.
Yeah, especially during those dead days of August where, like, if you're like me and you're, you know, having to come up with articles to write about the league, it's like a lot of the time it comes down to like a player's social media post, and it's right. Like what were they interested in that day, or what were they doing, or something funny they said, or whatever. Yeah, and so like that just, I think, to me is what makes a lot of this so fun. And so I guess like another question that I had is, obviously, like, you're now very interested in basketball. You mentioned the Phoenix Suns when you were a kid. Was it, sounds like that was your team. Is that still your team? Do you have a favorite team right now?
No, I don't follow any team sort of like based on geography. So I don't have any allegiances other than what I find novel and weird. So I kind of, you know, what is that? I think Friedarko had called that the liberated fandom concept. So it's like not sort of based on any geographic things. I mean, there's teams I will watch every season just because I'm interested in what they're doing, how the team comes together. There's players I like, but, you know, I live near Chicago, and I'm not rooting specifically for the Chicago Bulls because I live near there. But like I said, there's like, you know, players and situation. I guess it's more situation based is what I'm interested in this season, just from a, you know, from a spectator standpoint.
So like, what situations are you interested in then, or what, like, who are your favorite players right now?
Well, I'll answer both of those in Sacramento and Rajon Rondo, who is my favorite current NBA player.
You came on a Lakers podcast and said Rajon Rondo was your favorite NBA. Well, I guess now that he signed with the Kings, I guess people are going to be a little bit more okay with him. But last year there was a big fear that he was going to sign with the Lakers.
Yeah, I you know, have you seen that video of him when there's a sort of like a supercut of Kevin Garnett tipping the ball to Rajon Rondo? And every time Rajon Rondo would catch it to start a game, to catch the tip, he would do some little weird quirk. He'd bang it off his knee, or he'd throw the ball over his head. He would just do one little weird idiosyncratic piece of flair that does not belong in a team game. And it's just so interesting to me to watch him do that. He also seems, and I don't know if it's coincidental, but he does seem like one of the most cat-like NBA players, because he's sort of, you know, I think people would say sometimes that he's aloof, or that he's sort of a bit mysterious. And I appreciate that. I remember there was a Free Darko post about this in, I think, maybe 2011, breaking down NBA players, and maybe it was point guards, playing styles, and someone referred to Rondo as a cat on ice skates. And I think that probably stuck with me. That's probably stuck somewhere in my brain for a couple of years as I thought about maybe working on this project. So, yeah, I'm really interested in what's going to happen in Sacramento. I don't know how long in the season I'll keep watching those games, depending on what they look like. The Rockets are going to be a really interesting thing with Ty Lawson. I'm kind of curious to see what happens there. The East is going to be kind of interesting, just to see, like, you know, the Bucks will be fun. The Magic, I'm curious about. So I guess I watch basketball to see what happens. You know, like, there's no one I'm going to be, I don't root against anyone. I kind of don't really root for anyone. I just watch it more out of curiosity, like the way you would watch like a television program.
Okay. So it's almost like just following the like unfolding drama of the league, I guess.
Yeah. That's just like to me, the most fun way to watch. I mean, in one way, I don't perhaps have emotional stake, but in the other way, I can watch any basketball game happening in the league. It could be, you know, like a Timberwolves Magic game, and there's still something interesting to pull out of that. And so that's like, that's kind of what does that for me.
Yeah, I can definitely see the upside of that, and not being invested in a team's success or failure, like on a day-to-day basis. Like that would.
Yeah, what has the last couple seasons been like for you? Is it?
It hasn't been a ton. I mean, it's been fun because I've met a lot of new people, a lot of really impassioned fans, because like those are the ones who stay during like a couple down years like this, but. Yeah, it's definitely, like, it's something on a day-to-day basis that, like, all the, like, failure, it does sometimes bother you, like, when it shouldn't. It's, like, it's not people you know. It's not, like, it's not real-life high stakes, but, like, that's what sports is, I guess. And, you know, ever since, I think I was about, like, 8 when I first started watching the Lakers, and I made that connection. And ever since then, it's just been, like, pretty much, with the exception of a couple of years in high school, I kind of fell away from basketball. It's just been like on a day-to-day basis, it's something that you care about, and that like if the team's doing well, you're happy, and if they're not, then you're kind of bummed out. And then last year was a whole weird thing where, you know, this podcast started as the Team Tank podcast. We started because we were a group of people that were getting together that all wanted our chosen team to lose. Which is like a weird feeling as a sports fan that I guess you probably haven't had experience before.
No, but I fully support the notion of tanking. I think any sort of anti-tanking takes that people offer just seems unrealistic in the year that we live in. To think that you should sort of build the right way where, you know, it seems like building the right way is going all in and being bad for a couple of years. Yeah, no problem with that at all.
Yeah, I think, well, last year, especially for the Lakers, since the pick was only top 5 protected, they needed, it wasn't like a situation where they had a couple young guys in place. It's like, okay, well, if they have success, it just means that it's because they were growing, the team's headed in the right direction. That's good. Last year, Julius Randle gets injured the first game of the season. So it looks like we have no young prospects, really, other than Jordan Clarkson, who nobody was like thinking that he was going to be what he is right now. And so it was just like, it looked like it was going to be a lost season. And then like, if you were going to tack on at the end of that, that they lost their draft pick and they didn't even get any type of reward for it, that would have just been like heartbreaking as a fan.
Yeah. I guess the thing though, that I think about the tanking thing a lot, actually, cause I listen to a lot of basketball podcasts and read a lot of blogs. And I guess the only thing that I wonder about with tanking is, you know, would you rather be the Boston Celtics or the Philadelphia 76ers? Because the Celtics aren't tanking and they're slowly sort of building something, but it seems like there's a ceiling for where the Celtics can go. But the 76ers, there's no ceiling, but there's no floor. It's just four walls. So it, you kind of can't, it's hard to say whether you'd go one way or the other. So I don't know that tanking is sort of embracing the possibility of the future without having sort of any real idea of what happens in the next couple of years. But like I said, yeah, I support people doing that because again, that's just an interesting thing. And like in their own way, the Philadelphia 76ers have been interesting to watch in the past couple of years too.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating experiment of like how bad can you make an NBA team before people like completely stop going, and like their fans are bought in. So it's like how, like for me, it's always how can I have a problem with it if their fans are fully bought into what they're doing?
Like bringing this back to cats, there's a cat owner on the NBA, on the Philadelphia 76ers. So if you're ever looking for a reason to watch a 76ers game, then you can tune in to see Furkan Aldemir, who owns a cat named Firuz.
Okay. Yeah, so actually, you like a couple minutes ago, you actually tipped a game that when you were talking about Rondo, you tipped a game that I was actually going to play with you and ask you which NBA player you would describe as the most cat-like. But I guess for you, that's Rondo, right?
Rondo, DeMarcus Cousins, maybe?
So that's why you like the Kings. They have like two humans whose spirit animals are cats on their team.
Yeah, and I think I don't want that to seem pejorative because I know a lot of people get turned off by Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins is maybe perceived sourness or grumpiness. But that's just that's part of the human condition, and that's part of the feline condition is embracing them for whatever idiosyncratic things beings that they are. So yeah, I would say. Rondo, he really does seem like the most sort of cat-like player. DeMarcus Cousins probably would be perhaps the second. So yeah, I think maybe the Kings have it stacked in terms of feline-seeming basketball players.
Yeah, I was like Rondo, like both of them, you can kind of see the similarities just in that like cats, like most of the time, it's not like a dog where it's just going to love you like no matter what. Cats, you have to kind of earn their respect and earn, I guess their respect and their love and whatever. And like it seems the same way with Rondo and Cousins where they just like they're going to walk all over you if they don't think that you can offer them anything.
Also, your opinion's not very important to them. Which sometimes I kind of just see that as sort of refreshing in, you know, a sport where people are, you know, competing for like endorsement deals and, you know, trying to maintain an image in public. Everyone, and maybe this goes back to, you know, I loved the Phoenix Suns when I was a kid because of Charles Barkley and the I'm not a role model thing. So it's like I just like to see people who are sort of defiantly themselves. And I think if there were two ways to describe cats, those probably would be defiant and themselves. So yeah, I love watching any NBA player like that who tends to just do their own thing and not care about anyone else.
Yeah, I think but another guy I might throw in there is Russell Westbrook. And then like playing style as well, he can basically like jump twice his height like cats can, and he always seems to land on his feet. So he was another one that I had in my notes of like a player I would have thrown in there as potentially a little cat-like. And even Kobe to a degree, he really like throughout the, like one of the biggest criticisms of him throughout his career has been like, oh, he's a bad teammate. Like his teammates don't like him. He doesn't get along. But when he has teammates that like on a team that's playing well and they're working towards a goal that like is the same goal that he has, which is winning titles and stuff, he does seem to get along with them pretty well. And it goes back to that, like earning their respect.
Yeah. With Westbrook, I remember the starters a couple of years ago were asking NBA players whether they were cats or dogs. They were asking each other whether certain NBA players were cats or dogs. And that caused an inter-starters gulf where half of the guys were saying that Russell Westbrook was a dog and the other half were saying he was a cat. The people who were saying he was a cat were right, obviously. I don't know how you could think Russell
Westbrook. I was going to say, how is he a dog? What were their reasons? I don't know what
it was. Reasoning. Yeah, it was bad reasoning. So half of the starters were wrong. However, they ended up asking Russell Westbrook that. whether he was a cat or a dog. And he just looked so mad that he was asked that, which also seemed like a cat-like thing.
Yeah.
So it made me appreciate him. And Kobe has always, and I was thinking about Kobe once you got in touch with me, because I knew sort of we'd end up talking about that. And he strikes me as like a big cat in one of the sort of like the panther or one of those subspecies that are sort of giant and dangerous and you keep your distance from. So yeah, I for whatever reason, just sort of like maybe where he's at in the league or in his career, if he's any sort of cat, it's not the kind that would be in somebody's house, but maybe sort of in a zoo and glimpsed from, you know, kind of afar.
Yeah, he has that commercial where he takes a selfie with a lion. So maybe that was just like a long lost relative or something like that, if that's the case.
Yeah, lions resonate with NBA players, actually. There's a lot of sharing of lion memes. And recently I was watching a video where the 2014-2015 rookies were asked, what is your favorite animal? It was 2015-2016 rookies, and almost every single person said lion.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's interesting. What was it? Do you know D'Angelo Russell's answer? Any of Lakers rookies' answers?
It was probably Lion. I think because I started going through the rookie class just to see if I could find any info, and I mean I could send you a link to that, but I'm pretty sure there was like a cut together, and I think there was like maybe 8 or 9 responses in a row where different rookies at media day were just saying lions. So I haven't worked out yet whether that correlates to likelihood of owning a domestic house cat in the future. But from what I can tell, lions resonate with this year's rookie class.
Or, you know, they might just all go Mike Tyson and get like a tiger, like a lion in their house or something.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess just, tying back to NBA players, the other question I wanted to ask you was, or I thought that we should talk about, was which NBA players do you think would make the best and worst cat owners? But we could start with best.
I don't want to, I try not to, okay, let me think about this. I try not to ever say anything negative about any NBA players.
That's good reporting.
I'm rooting for everyone. In terms of picking out of, like, if I picked one player out of the ones that I already know own cats, I perhaps would be seeming biased against the other ones. But I will say that Russ Smith from the Grizzlies has 2 cats, opened an Instagram account under the name of one of the cats, and is always posting photos of himself playing with those cats. Their names are Mr. Quackers and Miss Meow, by the way. And so just at least from what I can tell, he is more actively engaged in the lives of his cats on social media than anyone else. So for that answer, I am going to say Russ Smith. I see tons of, if you look up Mr. Quackers, there's just tons of videos and photos of him just playing with his cats. There was a photo of him building a sort of cat habitat for one of them. He's always in bed with them. It is, it's pretty amazing. So it looks like if I was a cat, Russ Smith would be the NBA player I would want to hang out with the most.
And again, since we can't see your picture, we don't know that you aren't a cat. This could be Mr. Quackers, and you're just trying to prevent your identity from getting out.
I'm working on getting an interview with Mr. Quackers. That's also sort of like in my, I have a notepad of things I have to accomplish before the October 26th roster deadline. And trying to talk with Mr. Quackers is really high up on that list.
Okay. And then, just to be clear with the best and worst thing, I didn't want to insult any player. I meant it in a joking way, but I was, for my worst, I was just going to say Zach Randolph, tying back to what we were saying earlier, just because I'm picturing him just running around the house, just terrified of this cat, like not wanting to interact with it at all. And so I think, I'm just picturing it. Anytime he comes into a room, he's just like jumping out of bed and running out of there. So I was going to go with him for that.
Yeah, you know, though, I think there's the potential for Zach Randolph to come around because he didn't say he hated cats. Everything he said is that he's scared of them or he's not a cat lover. Whereas Eric Bledsoe and Jeff Green and Carlos Delfino have all said the word hate involving in cats. But then also with Eric Bledsoe, I found a photo of him and his child, and they're both, they're probably at a fair, and they have their faces painted like cats. So maybe, just maybe, I'm thinking that there's some sort of ambivalence going on there with Eric Bledsoe. So maybe Carlos Delfino or Jeff Green are the people who are would be the worst cat owners because of their outright hatred.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would make it pretty hard to own any pet, I think, if you like hated that type of animal. I mean, for me personally, I don't think I could really hate an animal, like especially like a pet type one. Like I can see one that's like, you know, like vicious predator of some type, but like, now, I'm definitely an animal person, and that's part of the reason that I was really excited to get you on here today. And I guess that we'll just kind of wrap it up with this. I was going to ask you, you know, or I was going to say, anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that I'm like a pretty big animal person. My Twitter avatar is a dog. It's my dog. He's like my best friend. But I've always considered myself more of a dog person. So I was going to ask you if you wanted to try and talk like, well, I don't dislike cats. I've had a cat before. I like cats, but like, why cats for you?
It's a challenge, and I like a challenge. Like we know, we talked about a little bit earlier. Cats are, when you get love from a cat, in the sort of like, I have two cats, in the probably 15 minutes a day that they care about me, it's really special because I go through the other 23 hours and 45 minutes just trying to get them to pay attention to me. So it just feels like a challenge overcome. And it feels like a, you know, first of all, I don't want to say that I'm the binary of cat versus dog. I kind of want to, I mean, I guess I'm an NBA cat watcher. It's hard for me to say that I'm sort of working against that. But I like all animals. It's just what cats are, I think, are fascinating because they're these sort of strange creatures that we will never completely understand and can only hope to reach in very rare moments of affection and interest. And so it feels like I've accomplished something when my cat deigns to look at me with anything besides aloofness.
That's how I feel with my youngest brother. he's a teenager right now, but yeah, actually I was asking because I'm personally like thinking of getting a cat because my apartment allows them, but not dogs. So we'll see where that goes, but you make like a solid argument. And then I guess I said I was wrapping up on that, but I did have one, I'm looking through my notes. I did have one more two more questions.
Sure.
So, first, what's been the hardest story for you to track down that of these cat mysteries that you've solved?
It was definitely Tony Parker. I got to the point where, so the way I found this out was I got a couple different tips through direct message of people saying that Tony Parker had a cat. And so I started to look, you know, obviously I asked him first. I always ask the NBA player first, and I almost never get responses from players themselves.
Yeah.
So then I started digging around, and someone wrote to me and said that they definitely saw the cat in a documentary. So I ended up finding on YouTube a French television documentary about Tony Parker. It was the second French television documentary about Tony Parker that I watched. So I watched another hour of one that didn't get me anywhere. And there was a 3-second clip of a cat walking in the background in a hallway in his house. So I reached out to the documentary crew. So it was like the director and the editor. No one got back to me there. I reached out to his business manager and his press person, didn't get back to there, multiple teammates, as many media members as I could find in San Antonio. I got to the point where I had form letters written to every member of the San Antonio Spurs that I could find. I had a giant stack sitting there. And before I put stamps on them, because I'm also cheap, I invoked the help of Kristen Ledlow, who has contacted me every once in a while from NBA TV. And I said, you know, she was my break in case of emergency aide. And I reached out to her. And then within 45 minutes, I got an answer that the cat's name was CeCe. But again, no one from the Spurs helped me. No one in San Antonio helped me at all. There was one point, actually, where there's a line I couldn't cross where someone put me in touch with his cat sitter. Yeah. But I feel like there's probably some sort of code of cat sitter, cat owner privacy that I felt like I shouldn't breach. So I tried to do this without, but it ended up being Kristen Ludlow helping me. And that was the hardest mystery to solve. And I still actually think there might be more cats than that he owns, because I've heard that he had four. So I will still keep looking on that. But yeah, that was crazy. That took a lot of work to just get that one name out of him. So no thanks to anyone in San Antonio.
Well, I think I saw the other day on Twitter that they were shooting they were having their yearly fun day for the HEB commercial. So you're going to have to wait till next year to catch him in a good mood and see if you can figure out the rest of that.
Yeah, definitely. I remember seeing somebody actually alerted me, Patty Mills. There's a photo of a Patty Mills sitting on some stairs in a Spurs uniform with a cat sitting on his lap. But that was actually, he was shooting an air conditioning commercial for San Antonio. So that was a false alarm on the cat front there.
The Spurs have the weirdest local. I don't know why to live in San Antonio and get those instead of in LA. We just get like Carl's Jr. and Jack in the Box at every single commercial.
Yeah. I mean, but again, we all know what HEB is, so they must be doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, hey, props to their marketing team. They've done those ads are always hilarious. So then last question I had for you, just your logo is a cat basically in the Jerry West NBA logo mode. And I was wondering, who is the Jerry West of cats? Where did that picture come from?
The Jerry West of cats came from a clip art sample page that I probably should be paying to use. So unfortunately I don't have the, it's not either of my cats. I don't have the skills to get that happening, but and actually I'm kind of thinking about that, whether I need to buy that, because my next plan that I'm working on is I am going to start selling NBA Catwatch merchandise, and all of the money that I would get from that, I would be donating to animal shelters. So okay. I gotta figure out first if I can, how much risk I'm taking using this, cat silhouette dot png that I found off of the internet from a free clip art site. So yeah, unfortunately the cat I just liked for its chunkiness, so it is just a sort of blob of a cat that I found somewhere online, so not Jerry West. It's not a maybe in that pedigree.
It's not Jerry West cat.
No.
Well, actually I guess we don't know, right? I mean, you said it's a clip art, like we don't, it could
very well be Jerry West's cat. Yes, that's
that's gonna be like, I think that's gonna be your final mystery. You can retire on that one when you figure out what the cat in your who the cat in your logo is.
You know, I did actually try to find out if James Naismith owned a cat. And I called the Naismith Museum, and a very nice person who was sort of puzzled as to what I was doing told me that they didn't know about that, but they did know that he was an animal lover. So that might be as far as I get with the origins of the NBA.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be like a hard one to source, probably.
Yeah.
Just because it's been so long.
Yeah, there might have been a cat sleeping in a peach basket somewhere, but I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, only the person who made the mistake of trying to shoot the ball through that peach basket figured that one out. Okay, so I think, and then going back to the merchandise, if that is something that you decide to do, you do have one willing customer right here. I would absolutely buy an NBA Catwatch t-shirt or hat or something. And I'm not just saying that because it's like good hosting to plug a guest stuff. That's like your Twitter account and website is one of the more legitimately like interesting and quirky and fun things to watch in the NBA. So I really appreciate you coming on here today.
Thanks. Yeah, I really appreciate it. And yeah, it's a project that started out as a joke, but I'm actually treating it really seriously now, because it's perhaps one area in my life where I can sit down and accomplish something concrete and know that, you know, I can do this. This is a project that I can sort of make progress on. So yeah, talking with you really helped. And if anyone else out there has any tips on any NBA players who own cats, please let me know. You can find me at NBA Catwatch on Twitter.
Yes, so this is Alex of NBA Catwatch, and he is at NBA Catwatch on Twitter. It's really simple for you guys, no underscores, no nothing. And I also link to your Twitter page on the article that this video is going and audio is going to be embedded in. So anyone with any NBA cat ownership tips, please get into contact with Alex and help him on his quest to compile this comprehensive list of which NBA players do and do not have cats.
Thanks so much, Harris. Oh, before I go, the name of your dog?
Jethro.
Oh.
Yeah, he's I miss him. He's actually at my parents' house. I moved out this past summer, and so yeah, it's a bummer every day when I wake up and he's not at the foot of my bed. So I am gonna have to figure out getting a pet at some point.
Yeah, looking to getting a cat.
Yeah, I think that's something that I'm definitely going to do. You convinced me today.
I wasn't selling you on I guess it wasn't maybe I wasn't maybe hitting the most appreciative notes about cats, but I was giving you a raw reality into the life of a cat owner.
No, it actually like it worked. I appreciate like the honesty. I think the honesty sells, and like the quirkiness like that for the same reason as the NBA. It's interesting to me. And
you'll always have something to take photos of and share on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. We could start NBA blogger cat watch.
Wait till next off season. That's a project for maybe next off season.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Harrison.
All right. Thank you, Alex.